Prince Edward County Arts Council Art Scene is brought to you by Eno Gallery.
Hello to everyone. I'm Sarah Moran, one of the co-hosts of Art Scene. Thank you for tuning in to 99.3 County FM to listen to the County Arts Show. In these quieter winter months, the Art Scene team are talking with some artists about the challenge of being an artist and being able to make a living doing it. On today's show, I'm meeting two musicians. With me is Annalise Nerona, who is an engineer-producer, artist, songwriter-composer, and actor, and also Kat Burns, who is a singer, songwriter, producer, artist, and composer. Sometimes they collaborate, and sometimes they perform together. Plus, they contribute their talents and their time to our community in many ways. Hello, Annalise and Kat.
Hello. Hi.
So great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome to the Arts Show.
Thank you.
Here on the Voice of the County.
I know. Speaking of the Voice of the County, when you say and actor at the end of my description, we sheepishly look at each other. Really, it's just a voice acting. It's not...
You shouldn't say just voice
well,
acting.
Well, not just,
funny,
but
both
meaning,
do that.
Yeah, and yeah. Kat does that as well for part of our income.
Yeah.
Professional voice
but,
actors.
You know, I think, with audible books, if the person reading it isn't a really good actor, it just destroys the whole thing.
Sure.
But on audible, yeah. It's often the author, actually.
Actor.
I know, I always forget that, I guess.
That's
isn't.
A thing.
Yeah.
And before we talk about that challenge, I just thought we should hear a little bit about you both. Annalise, when did you first realize you were going to be an artist?
Oh, I think a lot of kids, when they grow up playing music and start writing songs, you dream of fame and fortune. So that's usually where it starts. Like you want to be a star, make a living performing or doing whatever. Quickly realized I should have something to fall back on, so I went to audio engineering school. It was a time before computers, so it was still the large tape machines on tape, and there was a computer. It was the Atari 1040 STE, I think it was, and it was like
it's
a really
great you can remember that.
I know it was a long time ago, and I just got into engineering and producing, and then sort of fell back into doing songwriting and performing later.
So, but did you sing as a child? Like, were you...
Yeah. No, I was in... We had little bands when we were teenagers and played at stuff at music festivals and things.
Well,
yeah.
That's pretty good start. How about you, Kat?
Opposite, actually. I did not have any bands in high school or did any music. I did want to be an artist as a kid. I always wrote that anytime there was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It was always like artist and...
Visual artist or music artist?
I think visual artist because I didn't really understand that you could be a music artist.
Uh-huh.
So I did a lot of art growing up. I went to art school as an adult. I didn't really start writing songs till I was about 20, actually. So I was a late bloomer. I did pick up the guitar in high school, but I was very shy about it, didn't tell anyone. I jammed with maybe like one person ever. And so it was kind of a surprise to a lot of people. They're like, what? All of a sudden, I was like writing songs and touring, and everyone's like, what? You weren't even in music class. I never took any music class.
How did you get from...
I don't know.
Nothing to bands and touring.
It's funny. My friend remembers... So after high school, I moved overseas, and my friend said she remembers me calling. I told her, when I get back, I'm just going to be a musician and start writing songs. I don't remember this. But she's like, no, I remember you saying that. And then she's like, and then you did it. And I was like, what the heck? My dad was in a band. Like, I remember him talking about that.
We talked about the challenge that so many artists face. And that's whether it's in music or filmmaking or the visual arts. And the statistics show that income earned by artists, despite all their education and work, is way below average.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone wants to talk about it, so thank you very much for coming in and talking about it, because it's necessarily faced by so many people. First off, how would you describe what you face when making a living as an artist?
I think it depends. I mean, there's a few factors at play. The industry is, in the past, historically for sure, also favored men in quite a bit of the roles that actually earn money, like a lot of the production roles and back end, which is why I think Annalise was really smart to get into that early on as a backseat.
Oh, it just means way more pain through my life.
True.
And you know, the world is different too now. Like before Me Too and even Black Lives Matter, as far as me being a BIPOC person, you often didn't even understand why you were getting resistance or why you didn't get chosen for something. Understanding microaggressions due to who you are was not something that we were comprehending well at that time, for sure. So I agree with you on that front. There were a lot of, as far as challenges to face as an artist, that is it, for sure. And then also probably, unless you work for a company, if you stay a freelance artist, the amount of work and the money that you make seems like it's coming in waves, right? There's some ups. Like, I obviously, we still continue to do it because sometimes the payoff is pretty good and that will cover off some of the dark times. I feel like if I was just writing music or performing music, I would have some big gaps. The reason why my work is more consistent is because I lean into the technical side and on the engineering side, and I can always find work doing that.
Yeah, I think also things take time. So it's tricky if you kind of worked out an hourly wage, because like even just to have a song from start to finish takes a lot of time, and you're not necessarily getting paid for all the time until, you know, unless that's a big payoff.
No, and that actually seems to get worse and worse.
In like, more way.
For example, when I started writing music for commercials, they would pay you $1,000 to do a demo, and if you won it, you would probably make around $6,000. Mm-hmm. And now, usually, if they want a demo, they pay you $250, and if you win it, they pay you $1,000. Because all the technology moved into computers and everyone can do it at home, then things like music libraries changed, where people just sit at home and write music and then sell their track for $50, and then as an original music writer, you have to try to compete with that. And also, there was something back in the olden times, and I know and those guys like Doug Riley, who is a famous jazz pianist and keyboardist, but he passed away. He would come in and he would have the advertising people come in and he would sit at the piano with the TV and they'd play the spot and he'd go, so your commercial is going to be something like this, but it'll be with the orchestra and blah, blah, blah. And it was one track that he would show them and they go yay or nay and he'd amend it. You're competing against 10 other writers who are writing completely finished demos as well. Uh-huh. It's also like that has changed the industry and how you make music too.
And just really, we can't overestimate the library and Fiverr and all the things that like Jobber, where people are selling things for $5. Because they're doing volume. So if you're writing 100 snippets a day, sure, you're making a good daily rate, but
100?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, people that are doing that, that's what they're doing. They're cranking it out.
Yeah.
So it's really tricky to compete. It's tricky these days. Like, even with the difference between when iTunes was the most popular way to consume music digitally to streaming, the income difference is, like, massive. Because before, you'd get 70 cents each download out of 99 cents, and now you're getting 0.01 cents per play. So even to get like that 70 cents, it's like 700 plays or something.
Yeah.
So the income disparity from even 10 years ago is actually bananas. But to be honest, like Bandcamp has been really good. People do support. They buy it. That's the place where people buy music from directly from artists. And a lot of people, you know, turn to Patreon or Twitch and just stuff like that.
They want to do that. Mm-hmm. They want to support the artist.
Yeah.
Talking about the insecurities of it, it sounds like there are a lot of insecurities attached to it. Well, how do you manage that? What do you do to manage that? Because you can't live in a state of constant...
I think, well, for me, I like to have at least one or two other random jobs. A brewery. I also do, like, garden stuff. And then I do pick up freelance work. Like, sometimes I will, like, engineer, like, a voiceover session or something, or just pitch on things. But it's kind of like you have to just have a variety of different income streams, basically.
Yeah.
Tax time is a nightmare for me.
I don't do as many things. My goal is still to completely make my living from the arts and music, which I do, and I have. You can pitch on a lot of things on spec, and hopefully some of them stick to the wall. So when I have low periods, I do that. Also, I feel like as far as engineering skills go, if I need money, I can always hustle that work in the city, which pays a nice hourly rate and is not necessarily heart satisfying, but there's a lot of lovely people that I liked to work with in the city too. So the engineering used to be most of my career, and now I'm trying to fully pivot to just writing. Income did take a big dip when I did that, but also the idea is that you write enough things that eventually be on television. Over time, your SoCan royalties will go up, and then maybe one day there will be enough in there. But I can still manage to make a living mixing records and working on some audio post, which is very lucky.
So does the other stuff kind of distract and get in the way, or does it have any benefits to the things you really want to be doing?
The other stuff,
meaning if you're working in the brewery, or in your case, maybe doing some engineering work, like, are you feeling it's a big distraction to the main deal, or
it's your time. It's your time, right? Yes. I feel like I do enjoy engineering, and I feel like you do love being in the garden. It's always your time. You try to get home at the end of a very long day and still give something to your art, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you just want to sit on the couch with your dog and your tea.
I do struggle with that. I struggle that I should do it. I generally will put on YouTube instead.
Me too. It's very hard. Resistance.
Yeah. It's
brain. Even if you want to do it, I don't know what that is. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I would feel so good if I painted right now. But yeah, maybe I should watch this weird video on like some stock thing that I'm never gonna ever do.
Well, your brain does need some downtime. Yeah.
It's like a distraction.
It's part of fertilizing stuff, isn't it? To just not have to be thinking all the time.
That's my chicken's job. I hang out with the chickens, and that's when I clear my mind. I go, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I should do something today that's
just
artistic.
Talk to the chickens.
I do. I sing to them.
Do you really sing to the chickens?
I do.
Do they like it?
They like it.
Do they lay more when you sing?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, do you think over time you get better at doing it, like better at managing your way through stuff and still getting to do what you love to do?
I mean, it doesn't get easier or harder. I think you just get used to it and you just try and find a way to keep it more stable.
I also feel like myself, Kat, a lot of other people here who are professionals in this industry are trying to make the county a place where we can sustain an income without having... Usually what happens is the money work is coming from Toronto or is international and not necessarily from here. Raj Dillon, who's an advertising person, is trying to have a team of people that all are from the county, like art direction. I think on the current job, she's using Tess Gerard. For the visuals, I know Kat's composing one of those jobs right now. So the idea is that we create something here that people will come here to do the work too, to write and to record
That
would be great.
Idea.
It is a wonderful idea. The county is very large and spread out, so it's kind of hard, and it's hard to know all the people in all the nooks and crannies.
Mm. I'm still really hoping that one day one of those hangars at Base 31 will be a film studio.
They've shot stuff in there.
There's lots of stuff that's shot in there, but wouldn't it be great to have a dedicated film studio and all the jobs that come with it? That would be great.
Yeah, it would be.
In my pipe dream, that's what will happen.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out in the world there. but I agree. It's really cool to have, the community and be able to work here.
Because it does feel like there is a community here, but it's maybe more virtual, and if it was grounded.
Sure, and there is a ton of community here. Like, we feel it all the time when you do things like the Songwriter Show or my Christmas show, and we feel the audio community, but also that doesn't mean that it's making us a living financially.
I know. Yeah.
Right? There's people here that have talent and are doing work and making a living, but as far as it, generating from here at home in the county, that's not yet a thing fully. I'm so grateful for things like the Department of Illumination because they write a lot of grants and get money and pay artists fairly. Mm-hmm.
Recognizing that it's difficult and it doesn't feel like it's getting any easier, what compels you to stay with it?
I don't know that it's difficult. I think the compelling nature of being in the arts is the compelling nature of being in the arts, you know? I would much... I think about it all the time when I think, when is the time that I retire and just get a job I like and do music for a hobby? And I don't, because there's no other job that I would rather do. And as frustrating as it can be when you're working for hire, it's still better than most other things I could think of. And also there's a carrot dangle. If we were to write, like, just what, February 11th, Beyonce's new song came out, Texas Hold'em.
I know, a bunch of my friends co-wrote it.
Yeah, and there's like two Canadian co-writers on that.
Three.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Is going to be, like, that's basically...
Boom.
Yeah, they're won the lottery.
And actually one of them has a production credit on, too.
And so those things where you go, like, I know those people. Mm-hmm. This isn't impossible to get those big things. I mean, it's not also just a full lottery. Like, people worked hard. They moved to Los Angeles. They got in with the right publishers and management. And it's a whole thing, but it's not impossible.
So it's kind of neat now because there is an interesting thing where everything old is new again. I always...
Yay, I'm new again.
I do try.
That's right.
I do try.
And I'm even newer than you.
But it's good to remember. Someone said it to me once, and I can't remember who, but they said, like, even if you think, oh, that's an old song, it's new to someone. So even just remembering, like, everything is new at one point to someone.
Yeah.
And you never know what's going to hit, right?
No, someone might hear something. That's like the Kate Bush song.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Had any of those kids ever thought of Kate Bush before? Never.
No.
Never. Yeah, so it's interesting these days because, yeah, you really, there are interesting opportunities that can come. So, yeah, I don't find it, like, difficult to live life. Uh-huh. I think, you know, I'm not a luxurious high roller, and I think you just get used to that, and then you just have a really creative, wonderful life, and you just, as long as you can pay your bills and, you know, you don't want to be destitute.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear, because it seems difficult looking at it from the outside sometimes. And
aspects are for sure, but there's still joy in there. Mm-hmm.
So if a young person, that's their dream to live their life as an artist, what would you say to them?
It's so much harder, I think, if you're just starting, to be honest.
A young person today is also a lot different than a young person when we were coming up. So many people, as a music artist, so many people actually break out from their own social media content.
Yes.
Like, even in finding managers and people that will help you through the next steps. It's not so much the old thing where A&R guys would go to clubs and listen to music. You know, like, it's a lot different. And as far as being an artist that isn't necessarily a music artist, like maybe a writer, I feel like there's actually quite a bit of education that you can get that pushes you in the right direction. Most of the universities these days have, like, production courses, sound production courses, and writing courses, and Berkeley in Boston does a ton of stuff. Like, so there are, in fact, ways to go about it that is different than when we came up and there wasn't really anything. You were just doing it. Like, you're just doing it.
That's interesting.
I remember we were on MySpace, and that was like, even that, like, I remember bands being found on MySpace back in like 2006.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like a new thing. But I mean, it wasn't like I was trying to... It depends how you use those things, right? Like, I just was like, oh, I guess I'll get a MySpace because everyone's got a MySpace. Yeah. But I wasn't, like, actively, like, using it as a promotion tool. So I think kids now are very savvy with what works. But my advice would just be, like, don't just do it for the one song. Like, think of it as, like, play the long game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I would say is, if you are interested in writing music as a composer or writer, like, as song for hire, strangely, you can just cold... Mm-hmm. Send your music to people. So you can do a hustle. There is a hustle that can happen. You can work hard. You can follow up. Because really, all of these people who are middle-aged and running those companies are, in fact, looking for new and fresh writers. Those opportunities can exist if you put in the work and do the hustle. Find out who's writing all the music on TV that you like and then try to sort of target those companies. Like, that stuff can still happen in the work for hire side.
Yeah, I think that's,
and also, you know, there is a large part of just always being good at whatever it is you do, and also being a good person and forging good relationships. Like, Kat and I's relationship has helped both of us, in fact, back and forth. Mm-hmm. Kat got asked to sing on something this winter, and I ended up with an engineering gig out of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I introduced Raj to Kat to do things. So, so if you
it's
have
nice
good being... relationships and you're trying to help each other and not just feel competitive or something like that.
Yeah, it's because, always nice to recommend each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the idea of making the county good is, if we elevate everyone, it's going to help everyone, right? So
right on with that one. If people are intrigued now to hear some of your work or find out more about you, is there anywhere they can go?
Yes. catburns.ca or kashkamusic.com.
Yesterday wrote a note that says update website. Right. I'm very behind, but it's www.enlisnerona.com.
Well, thank you very much, both of you.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That's all for today. Next Friday, Cheryl Singer will be here speaking with Tess Gerard, a filmmaker here. Art Scene, founded by County Arts, is co-hosted by Cheryl Singer, Caitlin Thornton, Marianne Farrell, and myself, Sarah Moran. If you've an idea for a story to run on the show, email us at artscene@993countyfm.ca. Thank you for listening into Art Scene here on The Voice of the County.